If you like country western bars, you'll want a two-step on into Boots and mingle with the regulars. A friendly bunch, more or less, with characters the likes of which you're no doubt familiar. Sure, there's drinking. After all, it's a bar. But by and large, things are fine until greed steps in and threatens to break up our happy patrons and wipe out the bar. If you enjoy a puzzle, you'll like the twists and turn of this story. Here to give us the lowdown on Boots are its creators, Stephanie Carr and Mark Watts. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hello, Marina.
Hello, Maria. Thank you for having us.
So good to have you. So let's just get right to it. This is not a musical, which I'm very surprised by.
This is not a musical. Our first two shows, 11 and Lacey, were musicals and set in a different time period. And this time we have written a play set in modern times at a country western bar. So there'll be music. There'll be country music, but it won't be our written music.
And Mark, how does that sit with you? Because you're the music guy.
Well, when we first started this project, we thought it might be a musical. But I just can't compete with the likes of great country western that's out there today.
Right. Yeah, you can't mess with it. So who, what kind of music are you playing in your background?
We've received written permission from an artist in Austin that we really like, whose music we've danced at Broken Spoke, one of the great country western honky-tonk places. His name is Weldon Henson, and so we'll be featuring some of his music as background music.
Nice. So tell us about the story.
So the story takes place, obviously, in Boots, our little bar in a small far west Texas town. And there are two cousins who are at odds at each other about what to do with this bar because the owner has passed away. So we have some competition, we have some greed, we have a love triangle, and we have a little bit of oil and fracking and just kind of a jumble of stuff. And then, most importantly, we have a stranger lurking in the back table at the bar. So what is he up to?
That's
this stranger.
The guy to keep an eye on, right?
That's
it's always the
guy
quiet ones.
To keep an eye on, right.
An inspiration for the play? Is there a place, a physical place that you mimicked Boots around? Or
one of our favorite places is Wind Play Show in Ruidoso.
Okay.
Just a fun place. They have live music 364 nights a year, always good dance and music. And it's a family type of bar, no children. But a lot of regulars that live in Ruidoso, as well as guests that come up to Ruidoso, tourists. And we just enjoyed doing that so much that it gave us some ideas on how to proceed with some sort of a story around a bar.
Now, you guys are always collaborating or always up to something creative. So I don't know that you've only done three plays that we've seen out there, but are you constantly throwing ideas around or how does that work?
Well, Mark is, as you said, the musical composer. So in addition to the music that he wrote for Lacey and 11, he has also composed some very interesting and lovely classical music around quartet and piano music. So he has that talent, and I'm a hanger-oner.
Now, let's talk about EPCC. You guys are back to EPCC. You started with 11 at EPCC. Then you went to the Jewel Box, and now you're back. And we were just talking about how hard these students work. If you're a part of the repertoire, that means you're in for the entire summer.
You're in for the entire summer, 12 hours a day, one day off a week, maybe. These are a great group of young students just coming out of high school into community college. And they have lots of energy and enthusiasm. And they're young and just learning the ropes. So what's great about EPCC and the Summer Theater Repertoire Company is it's not only about being an actor on stage, but they're learning how to build sets and how to make costumes and how to sell tickets and man the popcorn booth and be ushers and run the lights. And so it's a real immersion in theater experience for those students who want to move on and major in theater at the community college and then logically move on to UTEP to do it here.
And Mark, you were saying some of the students are currently working on another production and they're practicing or rehearsing for yours as well.
Lately, they've been working on ours only, but starting this week, not only will they work on ours, but they begin rehearsals for the second play that's going to be performed as part of the summer repertoire. And many of the actors in our play are also actors in the next play and the next play. So they have to memorize a lot of lines.
That's unfathomable how they just do that. Are you all featured in this play at all?
No.
And was that a decision? Just you, this is a piece, you want to see it out there?
We wanted an opportunity to sit in the audience and watch our work from the audience perspective. The other two shows we were a little more involved in terms of on stage time. So
what are you seeing now that you're seeing?
Well, you know, it's hard to let go. So here you write your show and you have an idea of how it's going to be. We love Matt Smith, our director. He's a great new addition to the Community College Theater faculty. He's been there 2 years. This is our first time to work with him. And we hand it over with trust that he'll do a great job. But it's still your baby, right?
Of course. So, you're watching it. Yeah. You wrote it. You know all the lines.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's nerve-wracking.
To watch a rehearsal. But it's part of the process, no? I mean, are you thinking, or do you whisper to the director and say, hey, what if?
Oh, that's a no-no. So. No, if asked, we'll provide input, but he's the director, and he gets to call those shots and decide. And he has shown some, or I should say discovered some interesting aspects of the characters that we portray, and he's asked some very interesting questions. Mm-hmm. So he's coming at it from a different angle altogether than the writers.
So it's kind of a good thing, to have fresh eyes and kind of help put it out there where you think you know it. You know, sometimes I feel like you stare at something for so long that it just... there's nothing else you can do. And right. Then you have this fresh set of eyes and all these young people kind of ready to execute and something else.
Right. And it's amazing to see how some of these students, most of them, immediately on seeing the script could get into character. It's just delightful to see this talent at that young age.
Are they looking like what you thought? Your characters? Or feeling like, I should say.
They're feeling like, some of them visually didn't look like what we had. You know, you kind of have an idea. But they are increasingly sounding like and being the kind of characters that we thought. One of the fun things that Matt, our director, did was early on in the rehearsal process, put us all in a circle together, the students and Mark and myself, so that they could talk to a playwright. They haven't had experiences before talking to actual playwrights, all the plays that they've done, and probably most of the plays they will do in the future, ones that have been long since written by someone that's not accessible. So for them, it was an opportunity to talk to us about how we wrote it and what were we thinking and what was our idea about this character, or how do you pronounce a certain word because it wasn't right in their vocabulary. And so we found that as well, that some of the language that we use is unfamiliar to 18 or 19
words?
Year olds.
What do you got that they weren't familiar with?
I'll give you a for instance. Highfalutin.
Really?
Yeah.
And were they like, what is that? What
mm-hmm. I think that when they heard it, they went, oh. But when you look at the spelling, it is an odd word, very rarely printed.
Yeah, I guess that's
but
true.
But used in
but
common
said
speech.
Constantly. Well, often, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a valuable lesson also from our first two, and that is that costuming is difficult when you set something in the 1930s.
Right.
Of course, it's better than probably 1850, but 1930s is still a challenge compared to present day. So costuming has been, as Stephanie can relate, a simpler process.
Really? So are you helping with the costumes?
Yeah, so I'm the costumer along with Emily, Matt's wife. And so thank goodness for great thrift stores in El Paso that are full of cowboy shirts and jeans and all of that stuff. And so it's fun to costume without figuring out what kind of a ball gown did a woman wear in 1930.
Right. You can just kind of go to the thrift store and say, okay, here's a cowboy shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's some jeans.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
It's done in 2 days as opposed to 20 days. It's a lot easier on the costuming, that's for sure.
Now tell us, when are their performances are coming up?
June 23rd, 24th, 25th. Those are 8 p.m. performances, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And then the following week, June the 29th, and July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So 2 weekends starting on Thursday evenings. All the shows are at 8. The Sunday matinees are at 2:30. Tickets are $10, and I believe student prices are slightly lower than that. And all of the ticket revenues support scholarships for students in the theater department. So that's a great...
And that's what's excellent about it. They're
absolutely
working for it. You all are working for it. And then it just kind of keeps manifesting,
right,
and growing.
Right.
It's so incredible to see the talent. So before we go, I know you can't give us any spoilers, but something that we can expect. Can you give us an Easter egg, something to look for when we go to the show?
Well, if you drink Lone Star beer and if you looked on the inside of a bottle cap, that's part of the intrigue.
Those puzzles aren't that easy.
Those puzzles aren't that easy, and they play a key part in the characters figuring out what to do to save the bar.
So we can do our homework by drinking a Lone
Just
Star.
Just drink a couple of Lone Stars, pop those caps, figure out those puzzles. A lot of people don't even know that there are those puzzles inside those bottle caps.
Oh, so. No, that's the whole reason to do it, and you have to ask for it because, you know, the bartender will open it.
Yeah,
and
they're gone.
It's gone.
Right.
But
right.
You know to ask.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will look for the puzzle in the
Lone
Star. Stay tuned for Boots. Tickets at the door at EPCC Trans Mountain. It's a beautiful theater. It's a great place to see a production.
Absolutely.
And the popcorn is always good, which is a bonus. You can catch Boots at EPCC Trans Mountain Theater beginning June 23rd through July 3rd. You have evening shows Thursday through Saturday and then matinees on Sunday at 2:30.
Absolutely.
Today, my guests have been Mark Watts and Stephanie Carr, playwrights of Boots, that's going to be presented at the El Paso Community College Trans Mountain Theater. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marina. Always fun to be with you.